Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You're a bit surprised to see me this morning. This is not my usual day, and we're in today to speak on a special subject, and it's that of the coronavirus that everybody's talking about across the whole world. I'm talking about with fear and concern and anxiety. Well, we want to say a few things about it in the light of God's Word. Now, we sang part of Psalm 91, and we're going to turn back again there today. Psalm 91. I would just like quickly to read a few verses at the beginning, though I would commend to you all a reading of the whole of the Psalm, because God's Word always has something to say to us, no matter what a day may bring forth, no matter what comes upon us. There is in the Bible a word from God about the events that we encounter. And here in Psalm 91, we'll start off, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. In other words, whoever keeps company with God, whoever snuggles in close to the Lord. Now you know what it is. There's none of you too big yet to snuggle in to mum or dad. Well, that's how a Christian should relate to the Lord. They should be on such a friendly basis with Him that they get right into, close into His presence, and they dwell in that secret place and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. The old devil is a fowler. You know what a fowler is? Someone who traps birds, fowl, and devours them. Well, the devil is likened unto that. He sets traps for men and women, and boys and girls. And from the noisome pestilence. That word noisome, maybe not that familiar to us, but it simply means dreadful, hurtful, deadly, pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. A buckler, again not a word we use today, because we don't use bucklers. A buckler is just a small shield that soldiers would have had on their arm to fend off someone coming at them with a spear or a sword or even an arrow. So, while we don't have a use for a buckler today, nevertheless, the Lord is our buckler. He's the one that shields us from danger. Now, may the Lord bless the reading of those few words to us. As I said, I want to speak to you today about the outbreak of a disease amongst the nations, not just here in our little part of the world, but it's an outbreak that's affecting virtually all the nations of the earth. And I feel that before too long it will affect every nation. Now, as a result of this outbreak, there have been great difficulties and great disruptions in many great nations, including our own. And there has not been the like of these disruptions, probably in the history of our nation. Certainly nothing has ever happened to the running of our nation since the days of World War II, back in the 1939-1945 period. There were great disruptions then because of the attacks of Nazi Germany. People had to live with bombing taking place at night and also during the day. And men were off in their hundreds of thousands in the Army, the Navy and the Air Force, away from home. Children didn't see their daddy sometimes for years on end. At the end of the war, daddies came home. And there were many children didn't know them. Didn't know their own daddy. Because he had gone away when they were only 3 or 4. And now he was back. And they were 9 or 10. And apart from maybe a picture on the mantelpiece. I had no idea what he looked like. So there was great disruption. Food shortages. You weren't allowed to just go down to the shop and buy whatever you wanted. You could go to the shop and seek to buy whatever you wanted, but it wasn't in the shop because it was a very, very, very short supply. And if you asked for butter, they'd give you a wee section. That was all you could get. If you asked for sausages, well, they might give you two or three. If you asked for bread, they might give you one loaf. You just couldn't go in. Like today with a shopping trolley and fill it all up, you couldn't. You could put all you could buy in a shopping bag. And that had to last you all week. So there was great disruption, and it's heading that way again in the world today, because there have been many businesses. Although this coronavirus has only been in the news since the end of 2019, that was the first reference, and probably you never even noticed the first references. So that it only began to build up in the news January, February, and now we're into March, and it's talked about all the time in the news. That's a short period of time. But in that short period of time, many, many, many businesses have almost come to ruin, and will come to ruin. Airlines, considered one of the biggest businesses in the world today, airlines are going bankrupt because people are not allowed to travel. And in airports across the world, there are great fleets of airplanes parked, going nowhere, going nowhere. There are people stuck on cruise liners, thousands of people on the cruise liner, and there they were sailing through some of the most beautiful areas in the world, and somebody fell sick with coronavirus. Nobody was allowed off the boat, and they had to anchor the boat, isolate the people for weeks. And they're still out there, great boats with people stuck on them, not allowed off. So there's been great disruption as a result of a tiny, tiny, tiny little virus that's so small you can't even see it. And that little virus has upset the running of this world and confounded men, the wisest of men, and thrown them into panic. Now, I want to say something about this virus, for there are many, many people frightened. And I have to say they have some ground, some reasons for being frightened. Now, as a general rule, you lot are all right. It's not a virus, an ailment, a sickness, that particularly affects young ones like you. The virus doesn't find you attractive. Takes one look at you and turns the other way. Whereas it takes a look at the likes of me and it says, oh, there's a nice fellow, I'll have a go at him. And I have to be careful. And those like me, my age, and I have a couple of old ailments, you see, that, as it were, leaves the door open for the virus to get in. So I have to be particularly careful. But even if I got the virus, I'd say the chances are that after a week or so, I would recover. I think that would be very likely. But I want to particularly say something in the light of God's word. The first thing is this, boys and girls. Sickness. All sicknesses, and there are many of them, come about as a result of man's fall into sin. When God created Adam and Eve, they had no sickness whatsoever in their bodies. Nor was there any sickness in the world. It was a perfectly healthy world. There was no sneezing or coughing or fevers or not feeling well. That wasn't known because Adam and Eve were created perfect. But when Adam sinned, it says death entered the world. God had said to Adam, the day thou eatest thereof, I shall die. Death began to work the moment Adam ate the forbidden fruit, so that his body became unhealthy, and ailments began to work within him right away. And everyone that was born of Adam from that on, they likewise were subject to sickness. Sickness comes and is in the end the cause of death. our body just fails away, fades away. But for the Christian, sickness is but the door to heaven. That's the marvelous thing. The world out there is very, very scared of this disease because they don't know what lies in eternity for them. But for the child of God, we know that we're going to heaven. The world always was amazed at the reaction of the child of God to death. In the little town of Lewis, where there is a Free Presbyterian congregation, a small little congregation, and I have been there quite a few times, right in the heart of that little town there's a monument. And then up on a hill, a big cliff overlooking the town, there's an even bigger monument, and it marks the death of a number of Christian martyrs who were put to death in the 1500s. And people were amazed, you know, when these martyrs were taken out to be put to death because of their calmness and the expressions of joy that was on their faces. Now, the death they were facing was a most terrible death, far worse than any plague. They were going to be burned alive, tied to a stake and a fire lit at their feet, and they were going to be burned to death. And yet, despite all that, they were joyful. It wasn't unknown in those dark times, and indeed throughout the ages when the people of God faced such terrible persecution, for those suffering to sing. To sing! It says in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in jail. Now, they were not only in jail, but they had been beaten severely, severely, before thrown into the cell. And boys and girls, you have no idea of what a beating they suffered. I have no doubt that their backs were raw, broken, cut, as they were beaten with a rod. And the man beating them would have delighted in it, and he would have put everything he could into each stroke. And their backs would have been running red with blood, and the agony of it. I couldn't begin to describe it, and yet we read that they sang. They sang, because grace was given to them, so that whatever the pain was, within their hearts, within their souls, there was imparted to them a joy and a peace and a rejoicing that flooded over the pain they were suffering. So that for the child of God, death doesn't bring the fear that it does to those who are not saved. I have to say that. So that when death entered the world through Adam's fall and with it all the diseases that bring forth death, for the child of God, the one who had turned to the Lord for salvation and deliverance from sin when death came, God's comfort and grace and mercy and blessing was upon them. Now, with regards sickness and disease, God sometimes sends that upon the wicked. He sometimes sends that upon the wicked. Maybe you have been told to do something, and you have been told not to do something, but you disobey. And you do the thing you're not supposed to do. And perhaps as a result, you run into problems. I've often seen it happen where little boys, little girls have been told, now don't run! Simple thing. Don't run! And of course they don't pay any heed. Then off they go, running. And they haven't gone too far until they trip, fall on their faces to the ground, skid along on their hands, and the howl goes up. For they've skinned their hands, they've skinned their knees, and maybe skinned even their nose. And up comes mum or dad or a teacher and says, didn't I tell you not to run? And the little boy or the little girl knows that this has happened to me because I disobeyed. Well, God inflicts men, women, and young ones, as well as nations, with afflictions when they disobey him and go on disobeying him and defying him, and despite the warnings they pay no heed, then God sends affliction. Now, the best example of that is Exodus, where God said to Pharaoh, you let my people go, you're afflicting them, you've made slaves out of them, well, I want you to let them go. And Pharaoh said, no, I'm not. And the whole of the nation would have agreed with Pharaoh. No, we want to keep these slaves. They make life an awful lot easier for us. They do work that we don't have to do, and we can sit at home and put our feet up. God says, I want you to let them go, or I'll send you trouble. Now, among the troubles that God sent to Egypt, you can turn, if you wish, you old ones in particular, to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. Look at the verse 2, and we'll just let this be an example of what God does. Verse 2 of chapter 9 says, if thou refuse to let them go, and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, and upon the horses, and upon the asses, and upon the camels, and upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, a plague, a disease, upon these animals. And of course they wouldn't heed the Lord. And the Lord sent disease among those animals, and tens of thousands of them died in Egypt. Now God can do that. And you find in verse 11 that the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. Here was another plague the Lord sent. Boils upon not animals, but the men and the women, and likely young people. So he had sent a plague upon the animals, but that didn't have any impression upon the people. They still defied God. So then it was upon the people themselves God sent boils, outbreaking of open wounds and ulcers in their bodies. Very, very painful. Very painful. So the Lord is able to do this, boys and girls. He's able to do this, and history shows that he has done it many times. Many times. Indeed, I can go a little further and tell you this. He says very, very specifically in his word that at the end of this age, in the few years before the Savior comes again, because men are going to get worse and worse and worse in their sin and their defiance of God, God is going to visit the nations with plagues. Could this coronavirus be the beginning of such plagues? It may well be. I don't say it is now, but it very well may be the beginnings of those judgments that God says he's going to send on this earth because of its wickedness. Now, the earth has become very wicked. It's difficult for you just to grasp how wicked the world has become, because all you have seen is the world as it is today. But you see, for someone who's my age, I can remember a world that wasn't nearly so opposed to God, so defiant to God. Whenever, and we're only going back now to the 60s, when I started preaching, I came down here over to Lisbalaw, and I used to travel down from where I was living at that time in Belfast. And it took me about an hour and three quarters to travel down. There wasn't a motorway then. And I want to tell you, boys and girls, I probably wouldn't have seen more than a couple of dozen cars on the road in that journey. The only place you would have seen vehicles were outside churches, people going to church. But because I was coming down early in the morning, there wasn't that traffic. There wasn't that traffic. And especially when I drove from, well, I used to go by Armagh in those days, and I'd come from Armagh through Caledon, and those were all country roads. I would hardly see one car. Why? Because it was the Lord's Day, and people observed the Lord's Day. Now, on the Lord's Day, you'll see tractors, you'll see lorries and vans delivering stuff, you'll see any amount of people heading off to the seaside or the countryside or somewhere, and very few going to God's house or observing the Sabbath day in any way. And that's only a tiny, tiny fraction of the increase of sin there is in the land today. And we're heading to that time when God grows weary of man's sin. And he says, I've had enough, and I'm going to visit the nations now with judgment. And from the chapter 6 in the book of Revelation, right through to the end of chapter 19, the beginning of chapter 20 of Revelation, you will see something of the judgments of God that are going to come on this earth in the last 7 years of its existence. Judgment after judgment. Judgments the like of which the world has never really seen. Certainly never seen since the days of the plagues in Egypt. Only now it's not just going to be plagues on a small little nation like Egypt, but it's going to be many nations affected as God visits the earth with judgment. Now if that day is coming and you're saved, then the chances are it's possible that you will be like those Israelites in Egypt when God began to punish and plague and vex and judge the Egyptians. And the Israelites in their little homes will see God judging the Egyptians, but not affecting them, not judging them. The plagues that came on the Egyptians didn't come on the Israelites. They were all safe. But they all would have seen the dreadful afflictions. They would have seen the dead animals in the fields, smitten by God. They would have seen the crops destroyed by the judgments of God. They would have seen the frogs, the lice, the flies, the hordes, the millions, the billions of these creatures that God sent as a judgment, but which never came into their territory where the Israelites lived. And it's possible, boys and girls, that you will be the generation that will observe God doing this again, not just, as I say, on a small country like Egypt, but on many nations. It's possible you will be the generation that will see it. But that day is coming. What God says in His Word, in the book of Revelation in particular, He's going to keep, He's going to actually carry out. And as man becomes more and more wicked and defiant, then the day of God's judgment is coming closer. So in the very final years of this age, God is going to judge men who have defied Him, and there will be plagues sent amongst the nation. And I say again, is the coronavirus the beginning? I don't know, but it could be. One thing I'll say in closing, for the child of God, in the midst of such dreadful judgment, there are most comforting assurances given. Do you remember the story of Noah and his ark? Yeah, God set him into the ark and his family, and then God shut the door. And shortly after going into the ark, the judgment of God began to fall on this world. And there were upheavals in the earth, and earthquakes, and a bursting forth of water from the depths of the earth, and then there were the bursting of the clouds above the earth, and the great vapors that filled the atmosphere began to pour down as rain. And all that was alive on the earth was drowned. But in the ark, Noah and the family was perfectly safe. Perfectly safe. And so it is with the child of God in the midst of all the troubles that the Bible says are going to come upon the earth. The child of God is safe. And God assures them of this by some wonderful promises. Now, we sang from Psalm 91. I read a few verses there as well. I would urge you, young people, please, read the Psalm today at some time. Listen to what it says in Psalm 91, verse 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now, that's comforting for us today. I have a whole lot of verses that I wanted to give. Psalm 121, verse 7, Proverbs 12, 21, Deuteronomy 7, 15, all of which contains assurances from God that we can claim. And I want to tell you, you can take those assurances to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you have a loved one and you're a bit worried about them. Maybe you have granddad and grannies who are in more danger regarding this old coronavirus than others. And you're worried about them. Well, you can take these promises to the Lord in prayer. In fact, I say you should take these promises to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, here's what you have said. Please fulfill that for me and safeguard my granny, my granda, or my friend, my neighbor, my loved one, whom I think might be in danger from this old plague. You know, the Lord Jesus had power over all disease. And I'm going to close just with one verse or so out of the Gospels, Mark chapter 3, beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, Mark chapter 3, I've gone on a wee bit too long maybe today, but Mark chapter 3, and it's the verse 10, and it says of the Lord Jesus there, please note this, boys and girls, for he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him as many as had plagues and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. The Lord Jesus had power over all diseases and over the devils, and he was able to heal. I often have wondered, you know, as I've read the accounts of the Savior's life, I wonder how many people he healed in the 3 years of his ministry. Hundreds? Thousands? Tens of thousands. Tens of thousands. I have no doubt about that. There were times when it says that in a village he healed everybody who was sick. The doctors were out of business in that town. The nurses, they had nothing to do in that town. They weren't trying to sell any medicines in that town. Savior had healed all disease. That shows what he can do. So if you're worried about a loved one getting this old plague, you take the matter to the Lord Jesus and pray. Pray for yourself as well. You don't want to get it, but you pray that the Lord will touch your home and preserve it from all ill, for he is able. I love the picture that's given us again in the book of Exodus on the night of the Passover. And the Passover was God smiting Egypt with the final judgment. But in the home of the Israelite, no judgment. Why? The blood was upon the doorpost and the lintel, and they were safe. And when we're under the blood of Calvary, we're safe. We're safe from judgment. And we can plead for his blessing and his preservation and his safeguarding of us. You remember that today. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word. We've sought to set before the young ones here something of what thou dost say regarding the troubles that have come upon the nations. O God, we thank thee that in the day of trouble we can turn to thee. Teach the children to do that, Lord. Teach them to turn to thee. As animals, when a storm comes, we have seen them retreating to the hedge or the tree and getting in under its shelter. Lord, we've seen little chickens running to their mother and getting in under her feathers. Lord, may we be as wise as they and seek the shelter of the Lord in our trouble. Bless your word to every heart and do, Lord, safeguard us in the midst of this outbreak of disease. And be pleased to manifest your mercy toward us by making a difference between us and the world, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.